You're listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. Today, I'm very happy to have U.S. Representative Suzanne Bonamici as my guest. Ms. Bonamici represents Oregon's 1st Congressional District. She's been a leader on senior issues, and we'll be talking about some of those issues today. Welcome to the show, Representative Bonamici. Thank you for being our guest on A Senior Moment.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Joanne, and to all the listeners. It's nice to be with you.
Well, you've been working on a lot of things during this really unusual year, and we're going to talk about some of those today. And I think one of the big ones is the renewal of the Older Americans Act. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm happy to. Thank you for asking. And this is something that I've been working out on throughout my time in Congress, but we had two milestones. And one was a few years ago, almost 4 years ago now in 2016, when we were able to update the Older Americans Act for the first time in several years. And then just again, earlier this year in April, we had signed into law a renewal because in 2016, our work lasted just a few years. And I'm thrilled to be able to be working on that. It is kind of a cornerstone of our nation's commitment to make sure that our seniors live their lives with dignity. And so it has a lot of important programs in it, like Meals on Wheels and support for caregivers and protections against elder fraud and abuse. So it is truly an honor to be able to work on a meaningful bipartisan bill that helps millions of seniors across the country.
And just amazing that it could be bipartisan in this really unusual atmosphere that we have this time around. That's really wonderful. Well, I was looking at some statistics that 11 million Americans are served by that act, at least 11 million, and 18.2% of Oregonians are seniors. So we have a significant population of people in our state. So these COVID days, what is going to be added to the renewal of this bill? It looks like it's at least 7% more funding than last time. So are there things that will be changing for people during the pandemic?
Well, we want to make sure that the programs can continue, absolutely. And in the bill that we passed earlier in the year, the Older Americans Act, we were able to get additional funding in all of the programs, the Meals on Wheels and community meal congregate meal programs. And you're right that to some people it seems unusual for something to be bipartisan, but I always strive to build relationships and be able to get bipartisan work done. And these are issues that people really care about. And I know from delivering Meals on Wheels, not only in suburban neighborhoods, but in rural areas, it's really critical to make sure that it's not just the meal, it's the connection. It's talking to somebody and having that human interaction that is so important. So now that we are in a pandemic, it's even more important to have, number one, flexibility for those programs, because before the pandemic, people would come into community centers and be together and have those conversations. And I remember being at one community meal site and somebody got up and started playing the piano and people were dancing. And so it's really critical to have that interaction. So we're very concerned about social isolation. So I got a provision in it's called the CARES Act. And that's the legislation, the big COVID bill, to make sure that there is flexibility for the meal program. So they could use some of their funding to home deliver meals and to make sure that that social isolation is addressed. I also got a provision in to allow our long-term care advocates, they used to call the long-term care ombudsman, that's a long name, but long-term care advocates, that they retain the right to connect with people in long-term care facilities during COVID, even if it's by technology. But we wanted to clarify in large part because of isolation issues that those advocates could be there and connect with people. So during COVID, we want to make sure that the programs can continue, and it required some changes for flexibility. And I'm glad we were able to get that done.
Well, here in Clatsop County, it's Northwest Senior and Disability Services is an agency that a lot of people go to here when they need help. And I'm just amazed at how many of those programs that they offer are made possible because of the Older Americans Act. I mean, a lot of those services that are funded and really are free for people in most cases are funded by that act. And it's a really important thing. And that the Meals on Wheels evidently has just, the demand for that has just gone up exponentially as you might imagine in the pandemic. So this is great. It's so important for people to have that.
It really is. Food insecurity is, you know, a serious issue. And we hear about it with seniors, but, you know, the whole range. You know, I just had a telephone town hall meeting recently, and a woman who's a senior said, "No, I need some extra resources because typically I go out to the grocery store, but I want to have my groceries delivered so I can stay safe. I need help with that." So we recognize that there are additional needs during COVID. I'm glad that people are taking advantage of the Meals on Wheels program. It really, really makes a difference. And, you know, it supports our farmers and everything too. And it's the suppliers of all the nutrition and the people who are helping to make sure that people are getting the support they need. But I also want to mention the importance of caregiver support. So the Older Americans Act has the Family Caregiver Support Program. And I know from, helping to take care of my mom for several years, she just passed in June, and I miss her every day, but
yeah.
I know how much how hard caregivers work, the really critical work they do, and they need support. So the Family Caregiver Support Program that's part of the Older Americans Act has counseling and training and respite and support services for caregivers. So important because they're doing really critical work. And, you know, to all the caregivers who are listening, thank you for the work that you do. I know how hard it is, but I know how important it is to help take care of those in need. And, you know, especially now, during COVID, you know, what a challenging time. And I'm really grateful that the long-term care facility residents and staff are one of the top priorities for getting vaccinations here in Oregon. Our frontline workers, our healthcare workers are at the very top, but, you know, we've had a disproportionate amount of cases at long-term care facilities, and those caregivers and residents will be, you know, among the first to receive the vaccine.
Well, it seems like as a person who also, I cared for my dad also as a caregiver, I can't imagine what people who are caregiving at home are going through right now. I mean, protecting your loved ones from getting ill must just be a real challenge right now for people who are trying to do that at home.
Oh, absolutely. I spoke to somebody recently who said they were trying to decide if they should bring their parent home from a long-term care facility and try to take care of them at home. But it's really challenging. And, you know, people at all different stages of their life. And it's very, very tough. And so, you know, caregivers, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. The Family Caregiver Support Program, which I was very proud to help update and get more funding for, does have that counseling and support services. So don't hesitate to reach out. I know how stressful it can be, but caregivers, please reach out. You're really the heroes out here right now, taking care of our seniors. Please take care of yourselves too, by reaching out and getting some support.
And probably, so these funds that are federal get funneled through these kind of agencies like Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Correct. In Washington, which our station also serves as the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. And so on this show, we always tell people to access those agencies to tap into these programs, because the people there really know their services really well. And if you get on the phone with them, they can walk you through what it is that you need. We were talking also about you, victims of financial scams, that I read that you proposed a bill called Edith's Bill. It sounded
good. Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yes. And I have a consumer protection background. And so I'm very aware of these, you know, scams and fraud that are often perpetrated against seniors. But I also want to note that elder abuse can be physical as well as financial. So we really need to make sure that we are on and taking care of our seniors and protecting them in all ways. So either this bill, which is bipartisan, is something that I'm working on through. I am the co-chair of the Bipartisan Elder Justice Cause. And so this is a bill that would allow victims of elder fraud financial abuse to receive compensation through an existing crime victims fund. The fraud and scams are always wrong, but it's particularly difficult for seniors. They're not really in a position to be able to rebuild their wealth if they are scammed. And so it's particularly challenging for them. And so I know our Attorney General here, again, Attorney General Rosenblatt, is also very aware of the need to make sure that our seniors are protected. But the federal license bill, Edith, after a woman who was victimized out of her savings, to protect people and allow them to get that compensation if they are scammed. So I'm really concerned about the increase in scams, trying to take advantage of isolated during the pandemic. That's something that I'm very concerned about. We want to make sure that people are getting accurate information about vaccines. And
I think scams are always a problem. Exceptionally so now, because people are just really kind of vulnerable.
Indeed. So again, I encourage people, if you have any question at all, don't hesitate to reach out to the Northwest Senior and Disability Services, or I also want to give you my office contact information. My hardworking staff is working remotely through the pandemic, constantly checking messages and following up. So my office in Oregon is 503-469-6010. I'll say that again, 503-469-6010. That's my Oregon office. You can also find more information on bonamici.house.gov. And Bonamici is not the easiest name to spell. So it's B-O-N-A-M-I-C-I. It means good friends. And so if you also go, if you contact page on my website, there's a place there where you can email request for help. Also, while you are looking at my website, you can find a schedule from Telephone Town Hall Meet 2021. So I much prefer to be out in the community, and because of the pandemic, we have put out a schedule for telephone town hall meeting. We can accommodate hundreds or thousands of people on these. So we want everybody to join in. The next one will be on Wednesday, February 17th, and that'll be at 2 p.m. So that information is available on my webpage. You can sign up, and then we'll call you and you'll be part of conversations. So there are others on there as well. So I invite people to look at those and join us for the telephone town hall meetings. And I'll be giving an update, brief update on my work, but I do allow on those town hall meetings a lot of time for questions. And it's interesting to hear, from other people, the issues they're concerned about.
Well, so we were, one of the other things discussed that we might talk about is additional funds for senior nutrition programs. Is that a separate thing from Meals on Wheels? Could we talk about that?
Well, it is. It is the programs for things like
Meals on
Wheels and flexibility. But right now, I want to make sure we are, as we speak, in the middle of negotiating additional COVID relief. But we are also negotiating. They're called the appropriations bills, the bills to fund government over the next year, fiscal year. And so I am advocating for robust investments in these programs. I know how important they are. And again, I mentioned the Meals on Wheels. It's not just the nutrition, it is the contact and the communication and having eyes on and making people are okay. Particularly in rural areas, it's so important to have those programs funded. The congregate meal programs that community centers, senior centers, can bring people together and have that you know, the place for station and congregation, and those are really, really important. I remember visiting Fort Grove and going around table to table and talking to them. They were just so joyful to be able to be there, gather, have that meal. And so making sure that those senior meal programs are robustly funded, because I don't want there to be any unmet need. I don't want anybody in our community to be hungry, and I want everyone to have the opportunity to benefit from these programs that will help them. You know, a lot of people don't have pensions and they're trying to get by on, you know, Social Security, and relief funding is really critical. I mentioned the woman I spoke with recently at my town hall meeting. I mean, she's trying to get by on Social Security, and that COVID relief check really helped, the one that came this spring, because she has extra expenses trying to stay safe. We recently helped a constituent who was on the town hall meeting who was very concerned about now grocery store as well, because she's very vulnerable and has some pre-existing conditions that make her concerned, and she didn't have a good mask. So we worked on getting her connected with the public health office so that she could get a mask, an N95 or K90 that would help give her needed to run out to the grocery store. And we're trying to connect people with these services that are so important.
Well, one of the things that I've been always struck by is how many services there are available that people just don't know about. So that's sort of one of the purposes of this show, is to say, you know, there may be help for you. Don't assume that there isn't just because you don't already know about it. And that, you know, Northwest Right. Senior and Disability Services, Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington, they really have an incredible array of services, many of them under the auspices of some of the legislation that you're talking about. Well, I wanted to ask you something when I think, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's particularly true with caregivers. They might not know that there's this family caregiver support program where they can reach out and you know, ask questions and get some support. It's tough being a caregiver, but it's so, so important for our seniors. So again, that I encourage people to reach out and get more information if you're a caregiver and you want to talk to somebody or get that support.
I was reading an article maybe a couple of years ago now about the whole concept of family caregiving, which a lot of caregiving is just people in their families doing what is essentially another full-time job in addition to everything else they do. And people sort of view it as, well, it's my family, I just do that. They don't really quite understand the burden, and they also feel that they really are committed to it. But it's just a kind of, this article referred to it as like the hidden, because nobody talks about it. I mean, you don't go to a party or see a friend and start talking about the issues you have taking care of your elderly dad or your mom or something. You just, you know, it's just right. Not the kind of thing that you talk about, very personal, but it's there. And just an incredible number of, huge percentage of people in this country right now are caring for parents and other elderly relatives.
Absolutely. And
it's so, so important. So I wanted to ask about how you, I mean, as a legislator, there's a million causes that you could get behind, and they're all really worthy. How did you come to be invested in the senior issues?
Well, I think some of it is just talking to people in the community and seeing the needs out there, but also taking care of my mom and my stepdad, both of whom have since passed, but, you know, seeing the needs out there and also with what I've learned about, you know, Oregon really has been at the forefront in terms of you know, assisted living, independent living, adult foster homes, long-term, various options in senior care and, you know, looking at some of the models that we have and the choices that we have, but also with the understanding that, you know, a lot of those are not available to people without resources. So trying to, you know, level the playing field and making sure that we can do everything we can to keep seniors in their home. Most seniors prefer to stay in their home if they can, but that takes support and takes, you know, a caregiver, and it takes resources. So, you know, looking at making sure that those options are available for people and understanding how important it is to to make sure our seniors, you know, they've given so much to us, our seniors, and, you know, it's our, you know, sort of collective responsibility as a country to make sure that seniors are not living out their final years in poverty or hungry. So, you know, I did want to mention also that in the COVID relief bill that we passed earlier in the year, the CARES Act, we really did focus on, you know, older adults and people with disabilities, because it's more important for them to be able to stay in and have support. So that's why, you know, meal delivery and the caregiver support was even more important in that legislation, recognizing that during a pandemic where there are very serious health risks, that's a real issue. So we know we need more. You know, when we passed the CARES Act back in the spring, I think if you had said to any of us back then, and, you know, look where we are, it's December and cases are surging and we're seeing record numbers of people who are either hospitalized or testing positive, or, you know, unfortunately, the lives lost, I think we would have been surprised, because, you know, it was back in the spring. I think it was sort of general understanding that, you know, well, cases would go down in the summer and then by fall we'd be back to normal. We aren't all. It's a serious time right now. And so that's why I'm advocating right now to make sure that these supports continue. When the pandemic continues, the support for people in the community needs to continue as well.
So in the bill that's being proposed now, the new funding for support of people who are struggling, is there their funding for specifically for seniors in that also, in the new one that's proposed?
I'm certainly advocating for that. It's a bit of a moving target right now as negotiations continue. But one of the things that I have been consistently advocating for with the people who are really negotiating table, which is people in leadership, is to make sure that these programs that support our seniors get robust funding. So we are, as I mentioned, working on a specific COVID relief bill, but also the funding for our programs that for the upcoming year. So for the year of 2021, that's where I'm working to make sure that all of these programs in the Older Americans Act that we passed, the Meals on Wheels and meal programs and elder abuse programs and nutrition service programs, caregiver support, that those are robustly funded, so there are not unmet needs.
I think people, when they're thinking about this, I mean, when you're involved in this sort of caregiving situation, you're right there in the middle of it. But I think when you go to get help through the agencies that we've been talking about, I think people start to understand that there's a lot of help that guides you through the process. I mean, you can get help for all different kinds of things, including, I mean, another thing that I accessed toward the end of my dad's life was hospice, which was just an incredible support system. I just can't say enough about them. They were so emotionally supportive of me that really helped me to be able to do what I needed to do, and also supportive of my dad.
Yeah, thanks, Joanna. I had the same experience with the hospice service we had for my mom. And I do want to note too that a significant amount of that is covered by Medicare, which is, you know, so important that we maintain programs like Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, and make sure that those are fully funded, not on the chopping block, because of the really critical services that they provide. That, you know, the hospice services helped my mom tremendously and her caregivers, but it also helped the family. So it was this is an investment well made, and we are supporting people at end of life. And, you know, really credit to all the caregivers again who are helping to care for our seniors. Such important work.
It's just, it's extraordinary work, and it's work that people just sort of leap into and figure it out as they go, which is why all that help is so great to have, because it's like you really don't know what to do until things start happening.
Right, right. Well, the whole, you know, there's this whole caregiver economy. So, and when we're looking at caregivers, it's also, you know, who's taking care of our children? We need to make sure that we have good quality early childhood education that prepares students for the school system. And when they enter school ready to learn, I mean, we realize and recognize, and economists recognize, that investment in good quality early education is a good investment. And then looking long-term, the caregivers for our seniors. This is, if we can keep seniors in their home and reduce healthcare expenses and address social isolation, which leads to negative healthcare outcomes, that's a good investment. And it's one that we, you know, as a country recognized decades ago when the first Older Americans Act was passed. And again, proud to help get through this bipartisan update of the Older Americans Act. Earlier in this year, we did the big update, and that was an update to the bill I helped pass in 2016. So I will continue to work on these important programs for the people I represent, but also for our older Americans across the country. And a lot of these programs also apply to people with disabilities without the age. You know, it's called Americans Act because it typically generally applies to people 60 and older, but it also, many of the programs help adults with disabilities regardless of age. So I wanted to once again invite people to call my office if they have any questions or, you know, concerns about a federal agency, for example. My number's again is 503-469-6010, or you can find more information on my website, bonamici.house.gov. And please join me for my telephone town hall on Wednesday, February 17th at 2 p.m. You can get that information on my website as well.
Well, thank you so much, Congresswoman Bonamici, for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you, Joanne.
Appreciate you being here. And you've been listening to A Senior Moment, the show for and about seniors. Today, my guest has been U.S. Representative Suzanne Bonamici, who represents Oregon's 1st Congressional District.
Thanks for listening to A Senior Moment. We did this special recording of A Senior Moment over Zoom. And as you heard, sometimes the sound was a little bit wonky. So I wanted to make sure you had the proper contact information in case you have need of the services we talked about in this show or others. If you live in Oregon, your agency is Northwest Senior and Disability Services. Call them at 1-866-206-4799, online at nwsds.org. In Washington, your agency is the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. Locally, call them at 1-888-571-6558, online at o3a.org. And to reach Congresswoman Bonamici, call her at 503-369-6010, online at bonamici.house.gov. And one other thing that was partially obscured by the bad connection, I really like that her name means good friend in Italian. Thanks for listening to A Senior Moment. I'm Joanne Rideout.